Amen. Let's just pray, guys.
I just believe that the Lord is saying to us that if we truly believe that our Redeemer lives, how can we not share Him with the world around us? How can we just watch and see people perish without telling them that our Redeemer lives and that He can be their Redeemer?
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you. Thank you, Lord. Father, help us to be to share the gospel. Like never before, Lord God. Like never before. Like never before. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, Father, Lord. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor, Lord God. And Father, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, thank you. Lord God, we lift up, Lord God, Terry and Mr. Douglas to you, Lord. Father, the mercy of God upon these people. Lord, bring healing to their bodies. Bring healing to Mr. Douglas's body, Lord God. You're such a great God. And Father, we lift up Terry to you and we come against that cancer that has ravished her body, Lord. Father, your mercy, Lord God, to be upon her. The healing power of God, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, we do want to welcome you to Gaydon International Church, and we want to thank you for coming and being a part of our service this Easter Sunday, or what I like to say, the Resurrection Sunday. Huh? Where Jesus has risen from the grave. You know, thank you, Ms. Bear, for just sharing that. After Jesus died and rose again and all that stuff, and we'll talk about it, it says that He gave a commission. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." You can read it in Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You might say, well, do I need a pulpit? No. We just need our mouths just to share the gospel with people, to preach the gospel, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is the Savior. You know, there's countless millions that have been saved, been filled with the Holy Spirit, that has been healed by the power of God like no other except through Him. But we do want to welcome you here to Gaydon International Church. And we just pray that something we say or do will just touch you and encourage your heart today to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and say, "This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. And we appreciate that, all that you have given unto us. You can see in your bulletin, last week we picked up $619.66. I almost said 56, but 66. So thank you so much for your continuous support. And thank you for trusting Jelaine and I with that. And I know you trust God and you've given it to Him, but thank you for trusting us. And we will try to do the best we can, you know, with what God wants us to do with it. Just a matter of note, the new building is still coming around. We went, and Jelena and I looked this morning, and they put the carpet, they laid down the carpet in the main part of the sanctuary. That's all down. They started on the stage part, and so it's coming around. The painting has been done. The carpet's been put in the nursery. The carpet in my office has been put, so it's really, really looking good. So hopefully within the next few weeks we'll be able to be in that building as far as on Sunday mornings and praising the Lord and just thanking Him for His many blessings. As someone told me a few weeks ago, she said, you know, truly, truly, God has blessed y'all. And I said, I said, yes, He has, but it didn't sink in to after she said it. You know, it's like, yes, we are blessed by God, you know, that we're able to do all that stuff to that building. Lafayette Sound is coming Saturday to finish the sound stuff that we're putting into the building. Joe and them put up last Sunday afternoon the big TV, I think it's a 70-inch whatever there for all the words and everything, and so and all the things that we want to do on it. So things are coming around, and so we appreciate all that you've given and appreciate you and your sacrifice to this church. And we don't take it lightly, you know. We don't take that lightly. We appreciate and thank God and thank you for what you've given unto us. We certainly do appreciate you guys and thank God for you. So continue to pray that things are just going smoothly, guys. I mean, it's just going better than I could ever expect. I mean, what God is doing. And so thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's see. I want you to turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. I know in the bulletin you have April birthdays. I know Grace, little Grace, her birthday is on the 7th. Ron's birthday is on the 12th. And Andrew's birthday is on the 29th of this month. And April anniversary is Mr. Douglas and Miss Jane Reese. It's on the 11th. Ron and Johanna's on the 12th. And Joe and Jess East is on the 17th of this month. So congratulations on anniversaries and birthdays and all that stuff. In John chapter 19, look at verse 28. It says this, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now you can say he gave up his spirit, he gave whatever. He died physically. But it says that in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that means everything that was written about him in the Old Testament was fulfilled. Everything. Down to the vinegar being given to him to drink, you know, or put on his lips because he's thirsty. He did everything that needed to be done. And he finally, it says that he gave up the ghost or he died. But it says this in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Now that is some tremendous words, guys. When Jesus says it's finished, it's finished. When Jesus said, it is finished, that means he was saying, all has been accomplished. The mission has been accomplished or completed. He was saying it is done. That all the sins of the world had been paid for. Everything has been given. Victory has been given to us. That Jesus accomplished what he needed to accomplish to appease the Father. He did it all. He said, "It's finished. This is enough." Now, we can look in Scripture in John where it talks about that he gave his life. They didn't take it from him. It says that Jesus could have called 10,000 of angels to come and rescue him. Jesus could have got off that cross in an instant. Jesus could have killed every one of them there if he wanted to. But love kept him on that cross. Because he knew as he was on that cross, bearing everything to the world physically. You get my drift? As he's bearing everything to the world, his body, his spirit, his soul, everything, that if he wanted to, he could have come down. But love, as the song says and as Scripture says, kept him on that cross. The love for his Father and the love for us. So that we could have victory in every aspect of our lives through the cross. Where we could be forgiven of all the sins that we've been committed. Not just overlooked, but completely taken away like we've never, ever done them before. Can you imagine? That when we bow our knee before our God, or we just do whatever, and we say, "Father, forgive me," He instantly forgives us and remembers it no more. We're not like that. It takes a while, and then it takes the help of the Holy Spirit. Then it takes a move of God to shake the earth. Then after he shakes it, we're still thinking about it, you know, and yes, the earthquake has to come. The only way we could probably at times forget about it is if he'd come and just cut it off. So we couldn't think anymore. But can you imagine that every time we say, "Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. Father, forgive. Father, forgive me for thinking that, Lord. Father, forgive me for saying that. Forgive me for that action, Lord God. Father, I'm sorry." That the Holy Spirit comes in and cleanses it. And the Father looks at us with no sin at all. The love of the Father towards us. Free from those things. Free from the acts of sin. Free from the thought of sin. Free from the bondages of sin. Freedom. Freedom. That's why Jesus could stay on that cross and not get down. Because as he was seated next to the Father for umpteen years from the beginning of time, if you want to say it that way, because we always have a beginning and an end. He's all. He saw the agony. He saw the pain as he was seated next to the Father on their creation. He saw what was going on in the hearts and in the minds of God's his people. He saw the agony, the grief, the pain. That's what could keep him from coming down. The love of the Father in his heart towards us. Saying, "Those people need us. Those people, we need him." That kept him there. He could go through the pain, go through the suffering, go through the spitting at, and the pulling of the beard, and the pulling of the hair, and the beatings on the back, and the laughing and the jeering, and the snide remarks. That's what kept him there. Us. Because he knew. Because let me tell you, there was no doubt in heaven. There was no doubt in the mind of the Father. There was no doubt in the mind of His Son Jesus. And there surely was no doubt in the mind, if you want to put it that way, of the Holy Spirit, that He would rise from the dead. There was no doubt, guys. No doubt. We think, well, He had to do this and this. And there was no doubt in the Godhead, the Trinity, that He would rise from the grave and bring victory to every aspect of your life. No doubt. You know, we read and we say, wow, you know, He's in the grave. And we don't know for sure. But we know the end result. But we're thinking maybe He wouldn't. But there was no doubt in the mind of God that He would rise from the grave. There was no doubt in Jesus' mind or the Holy Spirit that He would rise up and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for me and for you. Can you imagine that? Having the number one guy making intercession for us and praying for us. Number one. Not the one way in the back. But not even an angel. But the number one guy, the Son of the living God, making intercession for us this day. As we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. You know, I know the calendar says that and we praise God. But I tell you what, the other 364 days is just as important as today. Because He's alive inside of us. He's alive inside of you. He's alive in you and wants to bring liberty and freedom in all aspects of your life and in your area of your lives. Things that have entangled you and held you in bondage. God has said, I've set you free. Just look to the cross. I've set you free. I've set you free. Oh, Jesus, it is finished. What tremendous words were spoken by our God. The utterance of these words. In Mark chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark chapter 15, verse 37. As we celebrate Him and what He's done. Can you imagine the whole world stops to recognize that our Savior rose from the grave. Even though they might not believe it, a lot of them. They just say it. But we know it's truth. Because we know the Bible is truth. Man has tried to distort it. Man has tried to say it's full of fables and lies. But every time they investigate it, they hit a wall where it says it's truth. It's truth. Noah's Ark was truth. Jesus was truth. And Jesus is truth and He's coming back for His people. In Mark chapter 15, look at verse 37. It says just, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. That means He just breathed His last breath basically upon the earth and died. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain or in two from the top to the bottom. Now, this is how it was back in, well, the Old Testament, part of the New Testament. Okay? Till Jesus died. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, most of those Gospels. That they had a place called the Holy of Holies, which was basically, if you look at back then, was in Herod's temple, basically. But it was the most holy of holies. That's where the temple priest would go once a year, and they made sacrifices and did that, and he'd go, and hopefully God would accept the sacrifice. And that's where God lived upon the earth, in the most holy of holies. Now you might say, was the Ark of the Covenant there? Not in the New Testament. It was gone since Samuel. Remember when they tried to find, you know, the God, I forgot His name, hid it in a cave, and it's, who is it? No. It was in Samuel where they hid it in a cave. In a cave. And from that day forward, the Ark of the Covenant has never been found. But God still would live in the most holy of holies, part of Him, His Spirit, in there. But it says when Jesus died on the cross, that the veil of the temple, which was approximately 6 to 8 inches thick, can you imagine that? The veil, that where God was in the Holy of Holies to the holy place, you know, the outer courts. where it was around 6 to 8 inches thick. It says that the moment that Jesus gave up the ghost and the moment that Jesus died and said, "It is finished," that there was an earthquake that shook that building. My God, can you imagine? That's the kind of God we serve. Shook that building. And it says that that veil was torn from top to bottom. Now that's amazing. Usually it's from the bottom up. But it was torn from the top to the bottom. Now, Josephus, which is a guy that does a lot of investigative type thing into these things, look to see what that veil was. That veil was 6 to 8 inches thick, weighed over 2,000 pounds approximately, and he says in his writings that it was so thick that 6 yokes of oxen could not have torn it from top to bottom. But it didn't take 6 yokes of oxen. All it took was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to tear that thing. What the Father was saying, it's enough. I'm tired of this little building here. I want to be out with my people. And now, instead of him just living in that one square room called the Holy of Holies, he now lives in the Holies of Holies of our hearts. In us, doing a mighty work, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in us and through us because of the resurrection of His Son. When Jesus took His blood and gave it to the Father accepted it and said, this is to your account, humankind or humanity. Anyone that comes after me shall find me. Anyone that asks forgiveness can now have forgiveness, not just overlooking like the lamb's blood or the bull's blood or the oxen's blood would do. But the true Lamb of God paid for all sins of the world, the past, the present, and certainly the future. That Holy of Holies veil was torn in two, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, now lives within His people. And all we got to do is accept Him as Lord and Savior and keep Him in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus came and did the work of the Father and fulfilled the Father's will. He did the work of the Father and did the Father's will. He was born, He lived, He died, and He rose again for us. He was born, He lived, He died, and rose again for you. For you. Who would ever want to come just for their own sake to be destroyed and crucified? None of us would take that on. But He did it because of the Father. The Father made Him become a sacrifice for all of humanity. The perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice. But He fulfilled the will of the Father as He stayed on that cross because of the love for His people. As He stayed on that cross, He loved us. They put Him in that tomb, a borrowed tomb. And it says that He rose from the grave 3 days later. Now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. A perfect sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12, you can turn there, verse 1. Andrew, can you put it? It says, Paul was writing this. It's an amazing thing. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Go back to the... That we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We know Jesus is my example. And we know Jesus is your example. And God the Father asked Jesus to do something that would change the world. To become a sacrifice. And He did it. He is our example. Our example is Jesus. Our example is Him. Paul says we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That means, you know what? Every one of us, after we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, are to die to our selfish needs. That we are to become a living sacrifice unto Him. That we are to take on what He wants us to take on. We are to do the will of the Father, preach the gospel. We are to do the will of the Father, that our eyes become His eyes. That we look at the things that God would accept, that's acceptable in His eyes. You might say, Pastor, that's a hard thing. Yes, it is. I understand. But you know what? Our eyes are not ours anymore. We are to look at the things that God would accept. We are to hear the things that God would accept. You might say, well, Pastor, it's hard sometimes. I know it is. You pass it and you hear all kinds of stuff. But to stop and get engaged in it is something else. Our tongue is to be a living sacrifice unto God. To say the things that would please Him. And I know that's hard. But we are living sacrifices unto Him. He became our sacrifice. Now we are living sacrifices unto our God. That the way we live, what we do, should represent our God. Look, guys, we need to be sold out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to be sold out to what He wants us to do, the way He wants us to live. That we're to lay down aside our selfish needs and say, Father, Your will be done. And let me tell you, it's not easy at times, but I tell you what, to have the Spirit of God move upon you and to show you things and to help you is a great thing. Can you imagine how Paul and Peter and all the disciples must have felt when they were doing what God wanted them to do? How the Spirit of God would be upon them. Can you imagine as they go into the synagogue and there's a blind beggar there and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I give unto thee. And they said, rise up and walk. My God, that's the kind of God we serve. The risen Lord that has given His life for us. My God, as He's given His life for us, we should give our lives to Him wholeheartedly and not hold back anything from Him at all. You might say, Pastor, I'm trying. Keep on looking. Keep on going. Keep on pursuing the things that God places before you. Don't let the enemy put anything in front of you that'll try to divert you to the left or to the right. But keep your eyes upon Him and Him alone. And our God will show us things and help us to be what He desires and wants us to be. There's positions in the kingdom of God. Not one's not higher than the other. But God has called every one of us to do something. It might be to herald His word out. Do it. Don't be afraid. Stand up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Stand up. Stand up. My God. The devil will try to tell you that what we have, the world doesn't need. But you know what? Every time the devil tells us something or tells you something, it's totally different. Because it says that the devil is the author of lies. And so everything that we think is not right, that the devil is speaking and we're hearing, is 100% wrong. You know what? The world needs what we have. The world needs what we have. Without Jesus, every one of those souls are going to split hell wide open, guys. That's why the Bible says in the latter part of Matthew, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The devil will tell us, well, they won't listen. So what? He says, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Because you know what? When the devil says they won't listen, that means they will listen. That means they are looking for something. The world has let them down. People have let them down. Religion has let them down. And they say, God, are You real? And we need to say, we serve a living God. He rose from the dead. He's living. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Let me show you who He is. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Let me show you. Let the Spirit of God touch your heart. and bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, because we don't want anyone to split hell wide open. Because let me tell you, that's eternity. And I know that's hard for us to even imagine, because everything has a beginning and everything has an end with us. You know, we were born and we'll die. You know, unless He comes before we do. But it's eternity. You might say, Pastor, I'm trying. Well, look, keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. My God, He's a risen Savior yesterday, today, and forever. He rose again. Victory. Victory. Look, our God is victorious. You know what that makes His people? Victorious. You walk in victory. My God, you're saved. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is upon your life. You walk in victory. As your faith is in the cross of Calvary and nothing else. Nothing else. But in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross and how He rose from the grave. Victory comes in every aspect of our lives. Because our God is victorious, we walk in the shadow of our God. Because your God is victorious, you walk in the shadow of your God. He goes before you. He makes the crooked places straight again for you. He makes the storms bow down unto Him. And He makes it okay. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm in the midst of a storm. That's okay. That's okay. Just so Jesus is in the boat with you. Just so Jesus is in the boat. Just so Jesus is on the side of you. Just so Jesus is with you. It doesn't matter what's going on. You keep your eyes focused upon Him because of the price He paid upon Calvary's cross. And what He did brings victory to every aspect of your life. Everything. Everything. We need to be the living sacrifices unto Him this day. Let Him do what He wants to do. Listen. Let go and let God. Let's say, Pastor, that's all. Oh, I know it. Let go. Let go. And say, let God. Let go. And just let God move, guys. And I know that's hard sometimes because we like to be in control. We like to have our hands on everything. We want to know what's on the side, the left side, the right side. We want to know what's in the back of us. And we sure want to know what's 120 feet ahead of us. But God says faith comes by step. By step. Step by step. Some of you in the valley of decisions, and you want God to show you 10 years from now, 5 years from now. Most of the time He doesn't. I'll be honest with you. He's saying, Joe, or He calls out your name, just take one step at a time. When I tell you something, just obey. And that's the light that I have. I can only see one more foot ahead. Take another foot. And just keep on going, guys. And don't look back. Don't look to the sides. Just keep on looking forward. Because you see, we serve a risen Savior that can light up the whole world. And He can give you victory in every aspect of your life. Let Him lead you step by step. Concentrate on Him. Look to Him and say, Father, You know where I'm going and what I need to do. But Lord, help me to accomplish it. You know, Jesus had to take it step by step. He knew the beginning and the end, the middle and the end. He knew what was going to happen. But He had to be born. First step. He had to become like man to be this perfect sacrifice, guys. Then He was a boy teaching in the synagogue. He was a carpenter. Step by step. Then He started to pick His disciples step by step. What if Jesus would have picked His disciples when He was born? Wouldn't have worked. That's what we try to do sometimes. We try to do things before time. Won't happen. Picked His disciples. First miracle, turning water into wine. Not fermented, okay? Jesus wasn't a wino. Some of you cracked a smile. First miracle. Then he fed the 5,000. Then he fed the 3,000. I mean, miracle after miracle. Healed the blind man. Healed the crippled man. Son of David, have mercy upon me. He heard the voice and he went and he took care of him. Son of David, have mercy upon me. Then Jesus knew it was time to die. And he gave his life. He hung on a tree. They put him in the grave for 3 days. And it says that he rose from the grave and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Perfect sacrifice from beginning to end. That's just like your life. You get saved. You accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's like you just love the Word. You just want to read. You want to get it in you. God shows you one thing. He works in your heart. He takes things out. He puts things in. He shows you something else. You see a miracle of God, He supplies you with a job. Ooh. He gives you the wisdom that you need because you were in a battle of decision and didn't know what to do. Another step. And you just keep on going. That's following the Spirit of the Lord. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I make a mistake? What you do is you fall on your knees, spiritually, if you ask for forgiveness. You wipe the dust off your knees. You get up. You look to Him. You keep your eyes on Him and you don't worry about the left or the right. And you look to Him. He's our risen Savior. He's our risen Lord. He's the one seated right next to the Father right now, making intercession for us. He deserves to be there because of what He did. Of what He did. He's alive, guys. He's alive, seated at the right hand of the Father. Praise God. We have something to sing about. We have a risen Lord that loves us and cares about us and has even sent the Holy Spirit for us. That we would not even be left alone. Can you imagine the Comforter to help us? Our risen Lord looking for perfect sacrifices, living sacrifices unto Him. To give Him praise, to give Him honor, and to give Him glory. Amen. Amen.